Hey everyone, it's Mike Schutten here with ARPA Canada, along with my colleague Levi Minderhout, and we're excited because it's election season. When's the election coming up in BC here, Levi?
Election is October 19th, so just a mere 4 or 5 weeks away.
Yeah, so maybe even by the time you receive this podcast, there's going to be signs going up in neighborhoods all throughout your area.
Do you like the signs going up?
I
do you find them annoying? Yeah.
No, I do. They kind of add to the excitement of the election. I like it. Like,
okay.
And the intensity with which the signs are placed about, it makes it more exciting.
Okay. Sometimes I think they just look frankly ridiculous. And
really?
Some places they look so cluttered with the signs. So
anyway, we're not here to talk about signs per se. We might talk about signs along the way, but Levi and I are going to hopefully over the next 5 weeks, just once a week, sit down and just talk about the BC election. What are some of the issues that received focus or attention that week? Some of the issues that ARPA Canada would be interested in hearing the candidates talk about and hearing the party leaders talk about. And hopefully every Friday evening or Saturday morning, you receive this in your inbox. We're doing it 5 times. ARPA Canada has dabbled a bit into podcasts before. We haven't really ever done it. We're just sitting here in our local BC office with the ARPA banners behind us. And we hope that you appreciate it. We also welcome your input. Levi and I talked about this beforehand.
Yeah.
Levi, how do people reach you if they have questions or comments, thoughts to share?
Yeah, by all means, just email at levi@arpacanada.ca. If you have any comments or feedbacks or questions that you want us to talk about or tackle on later episodes, I have some idea. We have some idea about how we're planning to do all 5 of these episodes and some of the topics we'll get into. But we've had some political bombshells in recent weeks, so I've kind of given up trying to predict the future. So some of that might just change.
Yeah, you never know actually what we're going to be talking about 5 weeks from now. Who knows, considering things, how they go in BC. I think it'd be good, though, especially for everybody and for ourselves, just to refresh. So the last election was 4 years ago, 2020. Do you recall, like, what was the landscape then? Like, how did the voters turn out? What did they send to Victoria as far as their government?
Yeah. Yeah, four years ago seems like an eternity. That was in basically the first fall of COVID.
COVID election.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So, I mean, like the whole election had a whole different flavor because there wasn't really any door knocking. There wasn't any live campaign events, I don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
So things were quite a bit different back in 2020. And at the end of that election season, back then, BC had 87 ridings. Now it's been increased to 93 because there was a census, and after they would do a census, they refigure all the ridings to make sure they're all even, all have about the same number of people. Back then there were 87.
That's good to know, because probably some of our supporters are going to be in different ridings this election, actually.
You might be in an entirely different riding. Your riding, my name has probably changed. So even if you remember, if you were in such and such riding last time, make sure that you actually go take a look about where your new riding is to make sure that you're following the right candidates and you just, know who your MLA is going to be.
Wouldn't want to show up at the wrong poll on election day.
I was working in elections BC one time for an election, and someone tried to vote in the wrong ballot box. And if someone put a ballot in the wrong election box, the entire election box would be spoiled and you couldn't count it at all.
Okay.
So it's important to know that you're in the right riding and the right voting station. So
important. So, okay, of those 87 seats at the time, 2020, what was the makeup of that? Like, we know the BC NDP were the governing party, but how did the seat break down?
Yeah. So basically at the end of the election, the NDP won a majority of 57 seats. They got 48% of the popular vote. So they almost got a majority of the popular vote, just slightly below that. The BC Liberal Party, they came in second. The BC Liberal Party, of course, had governed BC for most of the 21st century. They came in second with 28 seats and about a third of the popular vote. And the next up was the BC Greens, and they got 2 seats and about 15% of the popular vote.
Okay.
There's also the BC Conservative Party, which we're going to talk about soon enough.
I'm sure.
But they only ran about 20 candidates. So they only ran, they vote exactly 19. So they only ran candidates in about a quarter of the ridings. So they weren't even actually in contention in most ridings. They didn't get very much of the popular vote either.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, we're going to talk a fair bit about that, I'm sure. But BC Conservatives 2020, 0 seats, only a slate of 19 candidates to where they are today. Incredible. Were there any other parties of note that ran in the last election and likely might run candidates in this election that ARPA supporters might be interested in?
Yeah, there's still like the Christian Heritage Party, British Columbia, ran some candidates last time. They ran 5 candidates, and BC is actually the only province where we have a provincial Christian Heritage Party. So there's a federal one at the federal level, but then in provincial elections, only BC has a provincial CHP party that you can vote for or run for.
Go BC.
Go BC. Yeah. So I have no idea how many candidates they're going to have this year. I know for sure that Rod Taylor up in, I don't even know what the election or what the boundary is called anymore. Was Skeena Bulkley Valley? I don't know what it's now necessarily.
Okay, so that's one of the newer ones then? Or that one's been changed? Well,
they've all been changed to some degree. Okay. But he's definitely going to be running up there. So some people in northern BC might have the opportunity to vote for a Christian Heritage Party candidate if they so choose. But I'm not sure how many, if any, other people are going to have the opportunity to vote for a CHP candidate. We'll see.
Yeah.
The deadline for all parties to get their candidates in is next Saturday, the October 28th. Okay. So by September 28th.
Yeah.
So by September 28th, we'll all know exactly who's running and what ridings.
Okay. So after the last election, BC Liberals were the official opposition.
Yep.
Today, there isn't even a BC Liberal Party anymore. A lot's transpired there. But maybe let's talk about some of the other changes that have transpired in the meantime. Because I think last time in 2020, when there was an election, we had Premier John Horgan.
Yep.
And certainly John Horgan is no longer leading the BC NDP. Where are we at? What are some of the major changes that have taken place in the main parties between 2020 and now?
Yeah. That there's been a ton of changes. So in that 2020 election, it was John Horgan leading the NDP. It was Andrew Wilkinson leading the BC Liberals. And it was a guy named Trevor Boland leading the BC Conservative Party. And Sonia Fursanoux and Rod Taylor leading the Greens and the CHP. But those three of those leaders have now changed. So a couple of years ago, Premier John Horgan was diagnosed with throat cancer, and between that and the health challenges that he had through that, as well as a tumultuous couple years of being premier
during COVID
and wildfire season, and there were a bunch of things that came all together, that he basically said, I'm going to step out of politics. He's now the Canadian ambassador to some European country. I think it's Germany.
Okay.
He got a different gig there. And Premier David Eby became the new Premier of British Columbia, the new leader of the BC NDP.
Mm-hmm.
The BC Liberals, that 2020 election was one of the worst elections they have in recent history. So they got rid of Andrew Wilkinson. They elected Kevin Falcon to be the new leader of the BC Liberals. And part of his campaign for leadership was to promise to change the name of the BC Liberals to something else. Because he was tired of going door to door and explaining, no, we're not like the federal Liberals. We're not tied to Justin Trudeau. We're actually more maybe conservative than we are liberal. And they were just tired of explaining that to everyone. There was just a lot of confusion about different names, parties with the same name being different. So basically, he won that leadership. And a year later, they changed their name to BC United.
Okay. So at the time when he was campaigning for leadership, did he suggest the name BC United? Or was that something that came up from the party grassroots later?
No, he said he wanted to change the name, but they didn't have a name picked out.
Okay.
And they probably actually wanted the name, the British Columbia Party, as their first option. That's kind of what they've done in like Saskatchewan, the Saskatchewan Party, to kind of like talk and say they're representing the entire province and be less ideological.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, why they went with BC United. But that BC, British Columbia Party, that name was already taken by another political party a while ago, and so Elections Canada wouldn't give it to them. So they chose BC United.
Okay. So that was in the notes that we have here, April 2023.
Yeah.
So a year and a half ago, changed to BC United. Obviously, the name change was there, not just to hopefully avoid that conversation you said at the doors about the connection with Justin Trudeau, but they hoped it would give them a boost in the polls, like kind of like a rebranding, rejuvenation of the party. That didn't happen.
No, it did not.
They certainly didn't get any uptick. In fact, since then, everything kind of started falling apart, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
What did that start with? What was the kind of one of the keys that started that off?
Yeah. Good question. So a bunch of things kind of led to the BC, the Liberals, the BC ND, or it's not BC, the NDP, BC Liberals,
United.
BC United, kind of disintegrating. One was the name change. Like, it's an opportunity for rebranding, which is often a good thing, but they didn't do it very well. And so lots of people just didn't know who the BC United were. They didn't know they were the former BC Liberal Party, so that hurt them. They also, though, right around the same time, or actually about a year before that, they kicked MLA John Rustad out of their party. He was a BC Liberal, BC United MP, or sorry, MLA from Northern BC. They kicked him out of the party because of his view on climate change. And so Rustad went to the Provincial Conservative Party, eventually became the leader of that Provincial Conservative Party. And that gave the Provincial Conservatives, for the first time, like a leader that had, that wasn't part-time devoted to the job. Like, they've had other leaders that were like business people, or they had full-time jobs, were doing this on the side. They didn't have as much political experience or political knowledge. And so John Rustad was the first leader in quite a while for the BC Conservatives that was actually a full-time, skilled, experienced politician.
I
And
think it just to quickly take us back a little bit. this excuse me, this aspect of John Rustad getting removed from the party, that wasn't the first instance of that, right? We had Lawrie Thronas, who wasn't allowed to run in the 2020 election
Yeah, right here in Chilliwack.
for some of his views. And then I remember on the island there was a really star candidate, Aaron Gunn. He wanted to run for the leadership actually at the time, and they wouldn't let him. So I think that it's important for everybody to understand that, because these are things that we, if you're looking to the BC Conservatives in this election to put your support behind them, you would hope that they wouldn't do that kind of thing, like just remove candidates because they weren't falling, totally in line
That was always one of the so ironic
with.
parts of change your name to become the BC United when you've become known for kicking people out of your party. Yeah, like you said, Lawrie Thronas, Aaron Gunn, then it was John Rustad, and then last summer there was another MLA that left. This time he wasn't kicked out. My former MLA, Bruce Bannon from Abbotsford, he decided, I'm just going to leave the BC United Party. They have too much party discipline, and they won't let me speak my mind on a bunch of issues. So he basically said, I'm done. He crossed the floor to the BC Conservatives, to John Rustad. So then they had two MLAs in the House, in the BC legislature. And in BC, what happens when you get to two MLAs, you become an official party. So an official party gets certain amounts of allowances for money that they can spend and become a bigger political party. They
Have more
get
influence and so on.
more have influence. They also get the opportunity to ask a question in question period. And the very first question they ask once they're official political party is they raise some problematic books that are in public schools when it comes to soji and sexuality. So that's the first thing they started talking about. And then over the next many months, they've just started gaining momentum, and BC United has continued to lose it.
It is actually fascinating, especially from, we work for ARPA. You're watching this, probably an ARPA supporter. And the one issue that really catapulted them when it was just Rustad and Bannon is the, transgender, gender transitioning for minors and the SOGI 123 program in schools. And like Levi said, like those are the first things that they mentioned. I'll never forget Bruce Bannon reading from a library book from an elementary school, and he was kind of censored by the speaker of the legislature for reading that in public. And that was a book that was obviously available in public school libraries. So yeah, I think that we're going to get into talking about issues, but it's really it was refreshing. I remember at the time talking about it in the office, like, oh wow, like public office holders are feeling that they have the courage and the wisdom and the knowledge to speak about this. That's really good, because that's one of the issues obviously that we try to advance.
And that's what happens when like one political party is on the decline and another one is rising up. Like, these eras when parties change are times where issues can change right away. Like, new issues can arise, or other issues that weren't talked about, like soji, for many years, after no one talking about it very much at the political level, suddenly that changed. Now there's a party that's definitely willing to criticize soji and call for it being pulled out of public schools. So that's why even today, I think there's a huge opportunity for British Columbians, but Christians in general, to be involved in the political process, in the new parties that are forming, in parties that have existed for a while but are changing positions, to get involved now to help shape the future of where all these political parties are going to go.
Yeah, and it actually, the impact it has is far more than that. Like, you meet with MLAs pretty regularly, and even meeting with NDP MLAs, they're receptive to at least having the dialogue about, are we doing the best we can to care for children that experience gender dysphoria? Do you want to through the right program for schools in British Columbia? So I think it's super encouraging that, you know, public officials step out and give everybody else the courage to continue speaking about that as well. Mm-hmm. So Levi, after that, there was a number of more BC United MLAs that kind of seemingly, you know, jumped from a sinking ship, if you will, and joined the BC Conservatives. So at the time when the writ is dropped, the BC Conservative had five MLAs. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge change since 2020 when they elected zero. They start this campaign with five MLAs and hope to gain a whole lot more. The other big thing that happened to get us to the point where we kind of have a two-horse race, if you will, is that the BC United, this party that used to be the BC Liberals and changed their name and so on that we were just talking about, is actually really no more. I mean, probably is in some areas, but it's not going to be on the ballot. Like, they're not running candidates in this election. Like, that was a massive, massive news this summer.
Yeah, and as far as I know, it's basically unprecedented in BC or Canadian political history for a major party, like the official opposition, to go from 2 weeks before the election starts or 3 weeks before the election starts to say, we're not going to run any candidates whatsoever, as far as we know, this election. To bow out that close to an election is simply unprecedented. Yeah. So basically what happened there is that the BC United leader, Kevin Falcon, he had been pressured by all sorts of voters or business groups or people within his party that they didn't want the votes on the right side of the political spectrum to be divided or split between the BC Conservatives and BC United. Mm-hmm. The BC Liberals have always been more on the right side of the political spectrum, not the left. That's oftentimes caused confusion. That's not the case on the federal level. But then they decided that rather than trying to split the vote, he decided, and at least this is the way how he framed it, like, we, for the better of British Columbia, are not going to run candidates this election cycle here in BC as BC United, and we are going to fully endorse the Conservatives. And so from that unprecedented deal, the BC Conservatives ended up taking a few more of the BC United candidates to be their own candidates. Some BC United candidates, including some incumbent MLAs, are going to run as independents because they just didn't like the decision for BC United to fold this election. And some candidates have also even endorsed the DP candidate in their riding, because those former BC United candidates would rather support the BC NDP than the BC Conservatives. So the calculus for folding that BC United party was definitely for them all to align and to come support the Conservatives, but it's been a lot more messy than that. Like, some of the few remaining candidates and voters and donors have gone to the BC Conservatives, yes, but lots of them are running as independents, and some of them are going towards the NDP as well. So
Although it hasn't really manifested yet in the polls, the most recent poll earlier this week, I think by research company, was it had the NDP at 44%, the BC Conservatives at 42%. So as Levi likes to say, statistically, that's a tie when you're polling. So that's how we're starting the election campaign. Two parties with 40%+ of the vote. So that, you know, often during election campaigns, they and you and I have both been involved in various decrees with election campaigns. They talk about get out the vote, like the GOTV is the most important part of the election. And it's going to be huge for these two parties, because traditionally in BC, we get, you know, between 60-65% of eligible voters actually vote in a provincial election. Well, if they can increase that to 70-75% to either party and get their supporters to the polls on October 19th, that could make all the difference when it's this close.
Yeah.
So that's a huge encouragement to everyone who's watching too. Like, let's not view this as, oh, it's another election, whatever. No, it's important. Like, it's super important that you, if you're eligible, and people in your family, your friend group, your church communities, like, really encourage them to get out.
Yeah, I remember the Ontario election happened a couple of years ago. We were bugging, or at least I was bugging, my colleague Ryan Manns, who's the Ontario manager out there, because like the voter turnout in Ontario, the Ontario election was like, I think it was like below 50%.
Was that during COVID?
No, it was like, oh, it might have been like 21,
2022?
2022,
Okay.
something like that. So that might have had something to do with it.
Yeah.
But like, I think it was less than half of voters came out to vote. And of the voters that even came out to vote, it was still only about 30 to 40% of those voters who came out to vote that supported the Ontario Progressive Conservative Party, which eventually won the election. So basically, in Ontario, what happened is a party won a very large electoral majority with getting like less than 20% of all the votes of like every eligible voter. So it's actually kind of sad to see when political parties get that much political power with so few people turning out. So we really hope that's not the case here in BC,
Yeah.
that people are motivated to go out and exercise their democratic rights and
Yeah.
freedoms to go and vote. And then hopefully with a kind of a two-horse race between the BC Conservatives and BC NDP, that whichever party wins actually has the command and has the support of a sizable portion of the BC electorate.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking even just this week that federally there was a couple of by-elections, and one of them was like decided by less than 250 votes. But when you look at the percentage of people that voted, it was around 20, 21% only. Right? So it's like, wow. Yeah. Anyway, the importance of getting out to vote. I think that we can't underestimate the impact that you can have. Okay, so Levi, for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about some of these things. Let's kind of maybe set the stage a bit. The campaign's just underway, so we're going to be hearing a lot more week by week as the party leaders tour the province and so on, kind of what their platforms are, what they hope to achieve if elected to government, etc. But how do we start this? Like, what are some of the things we know, and especially as it relates to topics that ARPA Canada deals with, right? Things like life, freedoms, maybe the economy a little bit. I think the environment is something that you and I both often talk about. How do we be good stewards of the environment, and what are some policies and mechanisms to do that at a provincial level and so on? So maybe let's set the stage a bit. Like, are there, maybe first by talking about, are there some things that really differentiate the NDP and the BC Conservatives? Like, what really differentiates them that, it's like, wow, they are so polar opposite on these two things.
One big thing is that so every political party has a constitution that guides them, sets out the rules about how the party is going to operate, and things like that. The NDP here in BC, and I think it's true of every NDP party across the country, in their constitution, it says that they are socialists. Like they're not trying to hide that. They call themselves democratic socialists. And so they want there to be lots of redistribution of wealth across the country. They want there to be a pretty large and involved governments being involved in different areas of society. And they're all right with the social ownership of goods and services. So they're definitely the party of larger governments and different economic system. The BC Conservatives, though, have a very different philosophy. Their constitution basically says that they are very much in favor of smaller government, of individual liberties and freedoms, social responsibility, and free enterprise. And that last bit, free enterprise, was often kind of the mantra or the catchphrase that the BC United, BC Liberals had. They always branded themselves the free enterprise party, like the party of business and capitalism. And so the BC Conservatives definitely want to follow in that vein. But some of the other smaller political parties also have different things they focus on. The BC Christian Heritage Party, of course, tries to restore the Christian heritage that we have and try to definitely shape our laws and policies and our society more from a biblical and a Christian perspective. And then the other big political party, or somewhat sizable political party, is the BC Greens. The BC Greens, or the Green parties across Canada, have always been a little bit different in their makeup and how they operate, what values they champion, what issues they're focusing on. So the BC Greens actually have six core key principles that they use to really drive their party and their policies. They really are a favor of participatory democracy. So just doing politics different and really get citizens engaged in all sorts of different things. They're all about environmental sustainability, which isn't surprising if they're called the Green Party. They're always in favor of social justice, which is usually is what really puts them on the left side of the political spectrum. They have respect for diversity in all sorts of different ways. Again, more kind of a left rather than a right side of things, usually on the political spectrum. They really are big on ecological wisdom. And so oftentimes you'll hear people on the, in the Green Party drawing on not just environmental issues, but also indigenous issues and trying to bring kind of those two things together. And then also the principle of non-violence. Now, I'm pretty sure every party should be against violence, so that almost goes without saying. But they in particular have always focused on demonstrations or things like that, be non-violent, kind of following the footsteps of someone like a Gandhi or Nelson Mandela from South Africa, things like that. Okay. So they always are do politics a little differently. They always have a different issue set that they focus on. But those are kind of the main four political parties that we'll hear about, talk about, and their different distinctive ideas about how British Columbia should be run.
Okay. The issues that ARPA deals with, what are things that, and we're going to kind of try to bring this to a close shortly. There's going to be lots to talk about each week for sure. But what are some key things that, that we're going to be looking for and hopefully be able to convey to ARPA supporters in BC as you inform yourself and just become aware of what the different parties stand for and what you'd be looking for when you go to the polling stations on October 19th.
Yeah. So we've already put together an election guide. Like we do this every single year where we kind of take the main key parties and see where they stand on different issues. So the election guide that we have already on the ARPA website, that you'll see in the newsletter as well, talks about where the parties stand on 13 different issues that ARPA focuses on quite a bit, things like abortion or euthanasia, or medical transitioning and SOGI, or independent education, a variety of different topics. So, and that's based on the party's recent comments by party leaders, their votes in the legislature, things like that, what they've all said in the past. But of course,
super helpful. We should link to this. We should link to this in the email for sure.
Yeah, we'll do that for sure. We'll do that for sure. But that's always kind of looking backwards. During campaigns, almost every time political parties come out with an election platform that states specifically, this is what we are going to do coming out this election if we are elected. So that's always an opportunity for parties to clarify where they stand on issues. I'm sure issues like SOGI will come up based on how much they've been talked about in the grassroots and different political parties in recent times.
Absolutely.
And so we're just looking forward to all these issues being discussed by the different parties, them making clear statements, and hopefully from our perspective, clear commitments on bringing a biblical perspective and biblical laws to the nation around us and to creating a more just and more prosperous society.
Yeah. One, just this is fantastic. I'd encourage everybody to print this off as soon as you get it in your email. Because what it's going to do is it's going to help you not just be informed right now, but it's also going to help you ask questions of candidates who are going to be coming to your door. So you can wait for them to ask questions and be prepared to ask them good questions. But also you can initiate dialogue. The election is an important time where candidates want to hear from supporters. So you can reach out to them, to their campaign offices and so on, and ask them, you know, if elected, what do you plan to do about SOGI 123 in the schools? And have you considered this? If elected, what are you going to do to protect vulnerable people from euthanasia? Would you, you know, for example, plan to reverse the NDP's decision to mandate all hospices to facilitate euthanasia and assisted suicide? Things like that. So just really want to encourage everyone to do what they can to get involved, get informed. The next 5 weeks, pretty important here in BC. We could see a change in government. It's very close right now. Certainly, we'll see a change in opposition, even if the BC Conservatives end up there. They weren't there last time. So things are about to change here in BC, and you can be a part of that. As we wrap up, I want to remind everyone of Levi dropped his email before. If you have thoughts or questions, things that you hope we would talk about, things that maybe you're not sure about where a party stands on a specific matter that's close to your heart, feel free to email him at levi@arpacanada.ca. Okay, how do you feel, Levi? We're like 25 minutes in or something. I didn't look at the clock, but I'm guessing it's around there. And how'd it go?
I think it's good. Like, well, hopefully you guys all appreciate it. Hopefully you can use these conversations, these podcasts to educate, encourage, equip yourselves to be involved in politics and political action. So hopefully it's been good for you. I've enjoyed having a conversation, talk about this here with you, Mike.
Yeah.
And look forward to talking about all sorts of other different issues, topics, angles in the 4 episodes that we have planned until it's election day. So get involved. Hopefully this what we're doing is helpful to you, and we hope to see you back in the inbox in this next the next edition of this podcast next week.
Yeah, and if you liked it, feel free to forward the email on to your friends and family. I think it's going to be on ARPA's social media as well, so share it there. The more people can become, like you said, educated and encouraged to get involved, the better.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Okay, thanks everyone.
Happy election. Take care.